Hey, real quick before we get started, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group if you haven't done so yet. We have monthly live trainings going on there. There's an opportunity for you to join in the conversation instead of just listening to what I have to say on this podcast, as well as the people that I bring on. And it's a really cool place to join about 6,000 other clinicians that are honestly trying to change the landscape of our profession through these cash and hybrid practices. One other thing that's really cool is we have a guide in there that's a quick start guide. When you join, you can go and check this out. There's about 7 videos that we've curated that are the most common questions we get and the best case studies that we've found to really help you start, grow, and scale your practice up to 7 figures. So if you haven't done so yet, head to Facebook, request to join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. You have to be a clinician. We're going to check you out. We don't just let anybody in. But if you are, head there, go ahead, get signed up. We'd love to have the conversation with you in that group. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today we're talking about the current state of cash-based practices in the U.S. in 2023. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you some of the things that I'm seeing on sort of a 30,000-foot view. So this is a common Air Force term. You know, when you're flying at 30,000 feet, you see things a lot differently than when your boots are on the ground and you're in it, right? It's like it's hard to see the forest through the trees sometimes. But what I get a chance to do with PT Biz, one of the cool things that I get a chance to see is the momentum, the trends, the things that are changing within the cash-based world, in particular the performance-based niche within the cash-based world. That's our bread and butter. That's what we crush it with. That's what I built my practice on, is really helping people get out of pain, but then getting back to some sort of physical activity, some sort of physical goal that they have. And that's, you know, primarily who we work with and have now for years and years. And currently, you know, we're working with close to 300 businesses that we get a chance to, be a part of that business, communicate with on a very frequent cadence, and as well as see a lot of the data that is coming from these practices in terms of patient volume, demographic areas that are working well, marketing that's working well, sales that's working well, hiring trends, like all kinds of things, because we track a lot of that to help these businesses be able to more effectively run their business. So what I want to do is be able to share with you some of the trends that I'm seeing in 2023 and some of the things that I'm kind of seeing as we go forward that are probably going to happen. At least my best assumption of what's going to happen based on the data that I'm seeing now. So if you're thinking about starting a practice, this will be, you know, applicable to you. If you have a practice, this probably is going to be even, you know, more helpful, just to kind of hear some of the things that we're seeing, what's working, and make sure that you're doing those things. And if you're trying to figure this out all by yourself, by the way, you don't have to. You can head to physicaltherapybiz.com, check out what we do, pick a time to talk to one of our advisors, because let me tell you something, it is so much harder to try to figure out all this stuff on your own versus the shared information and what's working with 300 other clinicians that are so similar in terms of how we work with people. It's the benefit of being a part of a franchise without actually like being in a franchise. It's your business. We don't own any of it. But we get this shared information across channels that is so helpful and so valuable. And there's a reason why most people that we work with stick around for years and years within the mastermind. It's because they see so much value from actually being able to interact with these other individuals, for us to be able to work with them on their business, and to see this ever evolving sort of world that we're in especially within the business world, to where we can really make more of the right decisions and be ahead of the curve versus trying to play catch up. So if you're interested, head to physicaltherapybiz.com, check out what we're doing. Just check or go to the results page and it'll speak for itself. If you're on the fence about working with us, we actually like truly help people. There's a lot of people that have not done what they're teaching other people how to do. We've done it. We've done it now with hundreds of clinics all over the US and Canada and even other countries. But anyway, let's get to this. So I'm about as optimistic on cash-based practices as I've ever been. And I would say I'm a big fan of them, obviously. But what I'm seeing now is more and more people independently being aware that these types of practices, in particular, the performance-based niche, where they're looking for this sort of, it's almost like they're looking for an overeducated personal trainer to be to help quarterback their health and wellness. They don't know what they're doing. I see this in my neighborhood all the time. I see this in networking groups that I'm a part of. And, you know, some of these groups, I'm around a lot of very successful, smart people. And legitimately, the most valuable thing I can talk to them about is why their knee hurts. The most valuable thing I can talk to them about is how they can change their eating habits or improve their sleep or how they can, you know, pick up their kids without their back hurting. It's the most valuable thing that I know, and I don't even treat patients right now. Like, think about that for a second. It's the most valuable thing to the world, to the people around us, and yet we undervalue it so much. I could sit down and I could show these guys how to build out, you know, a business consulting company and a remote sales team and you know, overhaul their marketing. They don't care. All they want to know is why their wife's wrist hurts. It is so valuable, and we undervalue it continually. But I'm telling you, the market is catching up to us. They're looking for people like us. And a lot of this has to do with content that's being put out there. People that have been leading the way for a long time, like Kelly and Juliet Storette, the new book they've had that came out, Built to Move. It's stuff like that that's getting people to realize, oh, I do need to be a little bit better, you know, with these things. And you have a unique opportunity to build a business around being able to help those people who are actually looking for you, especially, like I said, those performance-based niches where you can say, man, I help runners get out of pain and get back to running, you know, half marathons or marathons or whatever, PR their 10K or just do their first 5K, whatever. Like, whatever it is that you want to do, dominate a niche that's movement-based. People are looking for you. Deductibles continue to increase, and HSA plans continue to be at an all-time high as far as companies offering those and people taking those. In many cases, companies only offering one option, which would be an HSA. They don't have many of these other healthcare plans that they used to have as options anymore because the cost of healthcare continues to rise ridiculously so. I don't understand it. I don't understand how this stupid-ass healthcare system works and is so inefficient that we spend so much money on basic health standards. And there's so much more skin in the game for people, even if you're in a bigger company. Like, if you're in a giant like consulting company, like a PwC or a Deloitte or, you know, these big four firms, or you work for like a Google or a Facebook or something like that. Okay, maybe you have an awesome healthcare plan. The rest of the people that work for most other companies, they are going to have typically higher deductibles. A lot of them are going to be HSAs. And a lot of people are self-employed. More people are self-employed now than they were even 2-3 years ago. Many people left their jobs or they were furloughed, you know, during COVID, and they just never went back. They got jobs doing, you know, 1099 contractor work, and they like it more. They have more flexibility. Maybe they make more money, but they have more on their own in terms of benefits. So a lot of these people have high deductible plans. They have HSAs potentially that are connected to those, and they are informed consumers. And there's more and more and more of these people every single year. Now, why is that a benefit to you? Well, because they got skin in the game. It's their dollars. They are looking for where they can get the most value. If they go to a hospital physical therapy clinic, they're going to pay just the same amount, if not more, as if they go to a niche-based performance clinic that works with people like themselves within whatever the sport is that they want to actually function in. So the playing field has become far more level, and in many ways, it's in our favor. Like if you're comparing somebody where they get to spend an hour one-on-one with a high-level clinician that knows and understands the ins and outs of that person's niche so well that they can literally articulate it and understand every problem versus they go to a generalist that has no idea besides basic kind of get you out of pain, get you back to a baseline. What do I do with you after that? I have no idea. Discharged. Who are you going to pick? Oh, also that other clinician's probably seeing a couple other people at the same time. It is an unfair advantage that we have. We just have to be able to tell people that. They have to understand that there's a difference, and that's marketing. That's getting out there with your content and meeting people. And that is where we're seeing a lot of traction be made because the playing field is very, very level now. So we have now seen over the last couple of years that the seven-figure mark has been broken in completely, you know, cash-based practices in cities as small as about 200,000 people in the population. So, you know, this is something that I would say roughly 10 years ago when we started our practice, no way in hell. I was like, 200,000 people, there's no way you're going to be able to build even like a six-figure practice in that. It's like, the town's too small. You got to be in a big city. You got to be in a big metropolitan area. And that is just not true because people are looking for these types of services everywhere. And in small to mid-sized cities, I actually think it's a bit of a sweet spot right now because there's less competition. There's less great clinicians than if I go to Manhattan in New York City, I can throw a rock and probably hit three great clinicians. You know, if you take that same high level skill set and you drop yourself into a smaller town of 100 to 200,000 people, now all of a sudden you're the best game in town. Like you're light years better than everybody else. And you can have more of an advanced approach. It's different. Like people will see that and you're going to have a lot more business than you probably know what to do with for now until other people realize that they can do the same thing, right? So we've seen the seven-figure mark be broken in towns as small as about 200,000. We've seen the six-figure mark be broken in towns as small as 10,000 people in population. Now, keep that in mind. These are businesses that we thought, maybe you can have a lifestyle business in a really small town like that, but for sure you can grow multiple six-figure practice and be able to bring on other staff in a small demographic size town. Again, it's because the playing field is getting leveled. They are having to put more money into it themselves. They have more skin in the game. So they want to go to the best providers that they can. And now they're becoming informed about that. And the more that we get out and we, you know, become part of the niches that we want to work with in the community that we want to be a part of, the more people realize who you are. And then it's like a no-brainer. It's like, why would I go see this person when I could see this ninja over here that knows exactly what I'm talking about and the price is the same? Like, it's an unfair advantage. We're seeing this in small towns, mid-sized towns, obviously cash practices and cash-based practices, out-of-network practices. They do really well in bigger cities as well. But we're seeing this mid-size where it's a bit of a sweet spot right now. There's just less competition, but still a lot of people to work with. New patient efforts that are working. Okay, so, and these haven't really changed too much, but I will say that there's a few things that I'm seeing that are definitely trending in certain directions. So one of the things that we're seeing is cost to acquire with paid ads continues to rise. So here's what I mean by that. You might have been able to get somebody in the door with an ad, and I did this for years with Facebook ads for our practice. I could get somebody in the door for like a $100 offer for probably $20, right? And I look back on that and I'm like, why didn't I spend so much more money on ads back in the day? Well, it's because I didn't know that it was that great of an ROI in comparison to where it is today. So today you might be spending, you know, $50 to $70, you know, to get somebody in the door for maybe a $90 to $100 offer, maybe even break even. Maybe you're spending, you know, $100. And it's because cost of acquisition is going up. There's more and more people that are advertising on digital platforms. And you got to think of it like a newspaper, right? There's not an unlimited amount of space in a newspaper for ads. They have to have some content in there. Otherwise, no one would read it. Same thing with magazines, whatever. So, you know, digital platforms are the same way. They can't take up all their real estate with ads. Otherwise, nobody would get on those platforms, right? So if you just saw nothing but ads on Facebook, you just wouldn't be on that platform or on Instagram or whatever it is. So they only can allocate a certain amount. It's starting to become, you know, it seems like more and more advertising space. If you probably noticed the same thing, but there's not an unlimited amount. So with the space that's available, they're going to increase the cost to advertise there. And especially as bigger companies start to do more and more of that, they just buy up more of the real estate across the board. It's like Coca-Cola branding, right? They used to do this with billboards and with commercials, radio, all kinds of stuff like that. And now digital advertising is a really big part of their marketing, which means there's less real estate for small businesses like ours. And the cost to advertise continues to go up. So that means you got to do one of two things. A, either be really good at ads and be a ninja when it comes to that stuff, get a really good agency that's going to help you with that, which is probably even harder to find, and then be really good on the sales side, right? So like you got to be really good at being able to get people to commit to working with you and solve a problem and commit to a plan of care. Otherwise, your ads are going to eat you up and you're not going to get much of a return on investment from that, and maybe potentially negative return on investment. So the other areas that are working really well, content still is king. Whether that's content on your website with blog posts and really ranking for search engine optimization and driving people via you being a subject matter expert in a certain niche in your area, that's still very, very popular. Local relationships, they are not going anywhere, and if anything, are becoming more and more important. So those of you that are really doing a good job of being a part of your community, being a part of the niche that you want to, you know, really help and serve, and being a part of an ecosystem of other providers that can really kind of refer in between each other and have this sort of ecosystem of health and wellness, that's going to be a really key thing for you to maintain and really solidify those long-term relationships, not just for you, but for the people that you're working with as well. Because to be a, you know, a good referral partner, you have to refer to those people as well, right? So you got to keep that in mind and be a part of the relationship, not just one-sided. Referrals, primarily driven by customer experience and results. Now, most clinicians think like, I'm going to get these amazing results. They'll speak for themselves and people will just like send all their family and friends to me. I wish it was that simple. That's part of the equation for sure. So getting great outcomes is half of the battle when it comes to getting somebody to refer somebody your way. The other part of that is how you made them feel and the experience they had when they came into your building, when they came into your facility and they worked with your staff and your team. That could be how your front desk, you know, office manager is engaging with people and how they're using their first name and being, you know, timely with your providers, being you know, always seeing people on time every time, with them being very diligent about sending thorough follow-up guidance and making sure people understand what's going on, checking in on them. That could be like relevant gifts at different times with milestones that they hit or something like that. It could be somebody's, you know, family member dies and you send them flowers. Like, it's the experience people have when they're at your facility or when they think of your company, what kind of experience do they think about? And then that plus great outcomes increases the likelihood that somebody is going to send somebody your way dramatically. And the customer experience side outweighs the outcomes in a lot of ways. Isn't that strange? Don't you think it would just literally be like, oh, they solved my back pain? Yeah, that's helpful. But they solved my back pain and oh my God, I love their office manager. I just go stop in just to talk to her. Like, that is what drives viral referrals, like word of mouth referrals that are predictable and will drive a lot of business your way. And we all know that those are the best clients, easiest clients to work with. Your people are doing the selling for you in many cases. Now, you can't just build a business just off of that. In most cases, it can be a big chunk of what you're doing, but it needs to be predictable and consistent so you can hire based off of that. So these are the areas that we're seeing, you know, really a lot of new volume be generated. If you need to be getting to that point where you're at, you know, 40 to 70, 80 new patients a month, you know, somewhere in that range, depending on how many providers you have, you got to be doing really all of these things to drive that kind of volume for the revenue you need for that staff size. So staffing, this is another big area that we see a lot. We've had a lot of people hire, like literally in the last year, we've had over 100 hires that have happened within our mastermind. And what we've seen with that is quite interesting in terms of lessons learned from people, structuring compensation packages certain ways, looking for new grads versus really seasoned providers, kind of in between people that maybe have a couple years under their belt. And what we've seen is the trend is really clinicians that are looking for cash practice jobs in particular for one primary reason, and that is work-life balance. So we all know that burnout in our profession is a really a massive problem. We know that, but so do our peers, you know, so do our colleagues. They know that. They feel that, especially in high volume settings or settings where they just have so much additional documentation and questionnaires and all this stuff. And if you know, their nighttime routine is finishing their notes and their Saturday morning routine is finishing catching up on stuff from the prior week, that's a real shit routine. Like, that's not cool. You should do something way better than that. We all know that. So clinicians that are in network are actively looking at out-of-network and cash-based practices for a potential place to work because they know the work-life balance is better. Now, here's the challenge for cash-based owners like yourself. You have to be able to match compensation models with what they're seeing in the out-of-network or the outpatient world that are higher volume, which is tough because they're going to make more money per provider, the businesses, in an outpatient in-network setting. So think of like your big sort of corporate clinics. They're going to make more money per provider than you can make with a clinician that comes into your practice, typically by anywhere between $60,000 to maybe $150,000 per year, just because you don't have the same volume. And sometimes these hospital contract payments, which are just like crazy when they get these high volume clinics plus hospital contract affiliation payments. I mean, they can make a ton of money per provider. So you got to kind of compete with that, but you can't have the same net revenue spread that they would have with a provider at an in-network clinic because they're not seeing as much volume at your clinic. So you've got to be able to at least get very close to matching the compensation model that they see and increasing their guaranteed payments, I guess is a good way to put it. So one thing that we saw really early on was cash practices. You could get away with like super low base salary and then base everything based on bonus comp. So it's like 50-50 almost in terms of their compensation. 50% was salary, 50% was bonuses. It takes a lot of sort of pressure off the business owner, puts it on the employee. Challenge with that is that's a sketchy model for the employee, and that drives a lot of them to leave and just go do their own thing because they're already taking a lot of risk. So why would I stay here if I'm already taking all this risk? Well, in order to combat that, what we see is owners are having to increase base compensation salaries to really be very close to what people are seeing in these in-network settings. And they're having to take a bit more risk upfront on themselves, knowing that they can help fill those schedules up. But in order to get a really high quality person that's not going to be so, you know, risk tolerant, they're going to jump ship as soon as they possibly can, you've got to be able to take that risk on yourself. And that means you have to have solid financials, you have to have really good cash flow management, and understand how to run your practice the right way from the financial side, which, hey, guess what? None of us went to school for that because we only went to school to learn how to treat somebody's ankle sprain. And we didn't go to school to understand how to read a profit and loss sheet, a balance sheet, and understand cash flow in our business and how much cash reserves we need to hire somebody based on their compensation structure. How many months do we need with that, with taxes and all the benefits associated with that, and understand, you know, how to effectively do that without crippling your business while also getting a really high quality person that can help grow the business. As complex as that sounds, that's what you have to understand how to do to be able to actually be able to grow past yourself in your business. And we see so many people be able to do that and understand the basics of it. And then all of a sudden, a lot of the challenge associated with risk, of the unknown, of the monetary side of things, of them not knowing like what they need to look at on the financial side, that really goes away when they start to get a clean, clear grasp of their own financials in their business. And that's a skill that you just have to learn to understand how to hire. But the key selling factors that you have, the number one selling factor that you have is work-life balance. You can be more flexible with people. You can give them a more flexible schedule, and they can see fewer people, which means fewer notes, less time on the phone, trying to request more visits. None of that crap is happening. So the amount of time that they're working is it could be equivalent in terms of patient available hours, but the rest of the time that they're putting in this additional work just to do the job, that is very minimal in comparison. So they're saving a lot of time. So the cost per hour, like the amount that they're making per hour, is actually higher in most cases in a cash-based practice than it is in an in-network practice, because they're seeing a lower patient volume, but also their notes are far fewer because there's less people. They're easier to write because they don't have to justify, treatment to whatever the insurance company is, and or maybe you're working with all these personal injury cases that have to be super detailed, and like you need to have justifiable, defensible documentation. Obviously, you need that, but you don't have to fill out all these other questionnaires or try to justify things. And that time comes back to you. And it's just always this, hey, just this one more questionnaire, it'll only take you a minute or two, right? It's death by 1,000 paper cuts, man. You gave me, this is the third damn questionnaire that's new this year. Now this patient, every patient I have is an additional 3 minutes, but I got 20 people in a day. That's an extra hour of stuff that I have to do every single day that you don't have to do in a practice. So this is what's appealing to people that are looking to actually work in these environments. So keep that in mind. Like when you're selling people on the idea of working in these clinics, you're selling them on the fact that their life is going to be a lot better. They're going to have more energy for their family. They're going to have more time for their own personal health and wellness. And they're going to have a better work-life balance. Plus, they get to work with really cool people one-on-one and really build long-lasting positive relationships with them and help them with their health and wellness. Like, that's an amazing, personally rewarding thing to do that they actually get to have, as their income, as their actual salary for their job. The other big thing that we're seeing right now, and this is sort of just the beginning, I think, of all this, is the utilization of artificial intelligence within different career fields. So, artificial intelligence isn't like some robot that is, like cleaning your house for you, or some sort of like self-aware technology that's taking over the world. Like what it is at this point is basically advanced software. It's very advanced software that can help with certain key tasks, right? So it can learn habits, it can learn sort of skills, and it can facilitate helping make things easier, especially when it comes to clerical things and research. Now, I think that where people can effectively use this right now is in the areas of content, clerical work, and then researching different things that you might want for your content and or for the business. You can look at things like note taking, things that are research based. There's a AI tool called Notion that really helps with organization of this. It's very similar from what I've seen to something called Evernote, but Evernote is a little more manual. Notion is a little bit more actual like automated and will kind of learn certain things you do, and it helps you just do things faster. There's things that you can use that are tools that will help like take content and repurpose them faster. So instead of you having to sit there and edit everything, maybe 50% of that time can be taken away by these AI tools that can basically do part of that for you, and then you can do the rest. So I don't see this as replacing anything in anytime soon within the physical therapy world in particular. I think other professions are, I would be a bit more concerned about my job if I was like in a very clerical position. Let's say I was like a paralegal or something like that, where I'm, helping research things and draft different documents. In that case, like you could probably have one person that's leveraging some of these tools and they can do the output of two people. So all of a sudden, like you need half as many paralegals within your law practice. That's a real thing. That's something that's happening right now. The ability to dry needle somebody or, teach somebody how to move better. That's not going anywhere anytime soon. To develop relationships and trust with people, like that's not going anywhere anytime soon. I do think there's ways you can leverage this to help with some of the marketing and the actual like content side of things and clerical things to make them make your front desk staff more efficient. And these are just, like I said, very new. They're developing quickly. And it's just a matter of like seeing where these things trend and then applying those to the problems you have within your business, because it will make you more efficient. And I do think that it's something to keep an eye on, even though I don't think our industry is going to be very fast to adopt a lot of these things. But I do think they could help in a lot of different ways in terms of some of it could be like really advanced biomechanical assessments and being able to really see different joints, how things are moving. And then you layer that into your understanding of movement and your assessment as well. And something like that could be a very useful tool to help drive a lot of like test retests, a lot of predictability in terms of movement patterns, a lot of consistency with people, you know, doing their homework exercises and actually like making progress and showing that objectively. Like, I think there's some really cool ways in which this is going to be used. Right now, it's mainly, like I said, content, clerical work, and research is where I'm seeing the vast majority of it. The last thing that I would say, and this is something that I was just having a conversation the other day with our advisors that talked to a lot of potential clients that we might work with. And one of the things that I'm seeing more and more of, and you know, it's something that I'm not surprised by, this is just more competition, more options for cash-based, niche-based providers, not just from individual, you know, clinic owners, not from small practices, even big hospitals. I'm seeing this now, even in Atlanta. I've seen this now. One of the major hospitals in Atlanta started their own basically out-of-network or cash-based practice that focuses specifically on performance. So if that isn't a telltale sign that there is an opportunity there, I don't know what is. This is one of the big three hospitals in the city, and they dumped a bunch of money into a really, really high-end facility, and they outfitted it with providers that look very legit. Now, that's the competition that you're going to have to deal with as some of these bigger hospitals realize this. Like, so you have to understand, you can't just rely on clinical expertise alone. You're going to get your ass whooped when these big clinics start dumping a bunch of money into it and they start propping up these facilities that you don't have the capital to build. How are you going to compete with that? Well, you're going to have to be really good at marketing to the people that you work with. You're going to have to dominate a niche. You're going to have a great customer experience where they come in your door. You're going to have to be super consistent. You're going to have to get great outcomes. You have to develop great relationships. You're going to have to maintain your reputation in your area and local marketing that you have. All the things that you have to do to have success in the business anyway. It's just, you know, 5-6 years ago, it was easier. You could be kind of bad at the business side of things, but be a great clinician. There weren't a lot of other people that were options. Now there's more and more people, not just other cash providers, which I do see, obviously a lot more of that. And I'm also seeing this with bigger hospital organizations, like I said. So something to think about for many of you, and this really comes down to, there's two things that I'm seeing. Some of you want to slow play growth in your business, which is fine. You might have real reasons why you're like, man, I just want to chill with the business, the size that it is. I just want to leave it like this. I like the way things are. I don't want to change anything. And, you know, and I would call those sort of like, you know, sweet spot businesses that are usually, it's like between, you know, 2 and 3 providers. You have small footprint. You're very net positive as far as profitability is concerned, pretty easy to run. It's a good culture to have. It's great. You can have that business, I think, for a really, really long period of time. But what I think you have to look at is, what are you leaving on the table in terms of growth potential over especially like probably the next 5 years, and security when it comes to that? So when you have a team of, you know, 2 people, if somebody leaves, or if something happens in the business where, you know, you can't justify keeping another person, you gotta let that person go, well, that's half your workforce is gone, right? Versus let's say you have 6 people and somebody leaves. All of a sudden you can absorb the difference in work so much easier. So there is some safety in numbers within a certain scope and size. I think if you get really, really big, then you're having to, there's a lot of leverage associated with that. And it can be a bit more stressful to run and challenging. But the opportunity's there, and it's not going to be as easy to make progress to gain market share over the next few years as it is now. It's not easy by any means right now, but it is easier than it's going to be because you're going to have less competition now than you will in a few years. If you are new to this and you're thinking to yourself, man, should I start a practice? I don't know. It seems like a lot of work, and it is. There's no doubt. Like, it's not the easiest thing to do by any means, but it's also what keeps a lot of people out. If you look at the opportunity for you to have success with your practice 5 years from now versus right now, I'm telling you, you're going to have an easier time of it. You're going to have higher likelihood of success now versus 5 years from now. And it has a lot to do with the landscape becoming more crowded and more competition that is going to be there. And listen, I'm all for, you know, this abundance mindset. Like, I think there's so many people that don't even know we exist. Like, that's where the real benefit is. That's where the real, you know, increase in business size and revenue. And there's just so many people that have no idea that we exist. It's probably like the, you know, 95% of the city that I'm in has no idea what we do or who we are. And it's up to us to educate them on that. And that's marketing. But at the same time, as you get more and more people that are vying for the attention and the business of the same sort of core people, it becomes harder to have that sort of recurring, easy business that would come in no matter what, if you know you're starting later to the game. So something to think about. If you think things are going to be hard now, things are going to be harder in 5 years than they are now for sure. And it just means you're going to have to be a better business owner. You're going to have to be a better clinician. You just have to be better. And I actually look at it as a very positive thing. The best clinics, the best clinicians are going to thrive. They're going to absorb other clinicians that are mediocre business owners, that are pretty good clinicians that just didn't want to work for somebody else, but do not actually want to be business owners. And some of you might be listening to this. And guess what? If you don't, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, don't feel ashamed if it's like, man, I didn't think I was getting myself into this. Like, this is way different than I thought. I just wanted to treat people the way I wanted to work with them. Well, in the next couple of years, there's probably going to be an opportunity where you can get absorbed into a clinic that makes a lot more sense for you. Or if you're on the other side, as a great business owner that's ambitious and wants to actually capitalize on that, I would start looking for these great clinicians that have, you know, have great clinical expertise, but suck at business. And I would try to basically, you know, incorporate them into what I'm doing and give them an opportunity to really thrive within a company that can manage the business side for them, which is really probably what they wanted anyway. You know, they just didn't have a choice. So they thought, all right, I'm going to go start my own business. And I'm seeing that more and more right now than ever. I don't expect that's going to change. I think we're going to see that, you know, ongoing over the next, you know, few years. And it's probably not far off from there being some sort of, you know, national based group that's really going to try to go after almost potentially a franchise model on a large scale, you know, around the US. Like, I don't think that's too far off either. So again, you know, you have to decide what you want your business to look like, what your, you know, you want your future to look like, the type of jobs you're wanting to provide for people, the type of culture you want your business to have. All that is up to you. And, you know, you can stay small and just be amazing at whatever niche you want it to be, and you'll be totally fine. But if you want to grow, now is a better time to do it than waiting a few years. So just so you know, I think that's something to be aware of. You might have other lifestyle activities or family things going on, and it's just not the right time. And that's fine. It's totally normal to have these sort of like growth cycles, and then you flatten out and you chill for a while. Growth cycles, you flatten out and chill for a while. Just growth for, you know, years and years is very hard on you. It's very hard on your family. It's just very hard on the business and your employees. And it's nice to give these like sprints and then break. But just don't take a break for too long, as I do think you have a lot of market opportunity. And if you don't take it, somebody else will. Keep that in mind. So guys, that's the state of the cash-based world for right now in 2023. I hope that you find this helpful. I know this is a lot of information. And again, this is something that this isn't necessarily theory. This is based off of what we're seeing in real time. So I wanted to share this with the profession. I just think that this is something that can be helpful for those of you that are trying to do your own thing in the physical therapy or clinical world. I'm obviously a huge fan. You know, I'm not doing this just because I think it's a great business opportunity. Like, I'm a clinician first. That's what I tell people. People ask me what I do. I tell them I'm a physical therapist. And then it gets a little weird when they ask me where I treat patients, because I don't treat patients anymore. So, you know, dinner parties are a little strange, but even still, that's what I am. That's what I went to school for. That's like what I nerded out on for so long. That's what I taught other clinicians how to do. It's very important for me, for our profession to move forward and not you know, be left behind as other professions see more and more opportunities to help people long term, especially with their health and wellness, where I think we have such a sweet spot, especially if you really kind of gravitate more towards this performance-based approach like I did and I still very much believe in. I think we are uniquely positioned to help people with problems that they're going to have that are not going to go away. Everyone's health is getting worse. Everyone is getting busier. Everyone is doing less physically. Everyone is trying to augment everything with all this technology and what supplement should I take? And it's like, it doesn't have to be that hard. They just need someone that can help them, that's knowledgeable, that they can build trust with, that can be their coach as far as health and wellness goes. Get them out of pain. Get them back to things that they like to do. Be an accountability partner and have these long-term relationships that I think are just so good for your business, but also so good for these people that we get a chance to work with. So as always, I really appreciate you listening. If you're interested in getting some help from us on the business side, head to physicaltherapybiz.com, check out what we're doing. You know, for the right fit, we'd love to have a conversation. If not, hope this podcast helps you either way. So as always, thanks for listening. Catch you next week. Hey, Peach Entrepreneurs, we have big, exciting news, a new program that we just came out with that is our PT Biz part-time to full-time five-day challenge. Over the course of 5 days, we get you crystal clear on exactly how much money you need to replace by getting you ultra clear on how much you're actually spending. We get you crystal clear on the number of people you're going to see and the average visit rate you're going to need to have in order to replace your income to be able to go full-time. We go through 3 different strategies that you can take to go from part-time to full-time. You can pick the one that's the best for you based on your current situation. Then we share with you the sales and marketing systems that we use within our mastermind that you need to have as well if you want to go full-time in your own practice. And then finally, we help you create a one-page business plan. That's right, not these 15-day business plans. You want to take the Small Business Association, a one-day business plan. It's going to help you get very clear on exactly what you need to do and when you're going to do it to take action. If you're interested in signing up for this challenge, it's totally free. Head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge. Get signed up there. Please enjoy. We put a lot of energy into this. It's totally free. It's something I think is going to help you tremendously as long as you're willing to do the work. If you're doing the work, you're getting information put down and getting yourself ready to take action in a very organized way, you will have success, which is what we want. So head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge and get signed up today.